I think in Western culture, we're like, you know, we have a plan of what we're going to do. We have a plan. We know what we're going to do. And you know, I quote the music from our book, or we got with some music from the music that's written on the stand in front of us. And in my opinion, there's a problem with that. And I was just the idea of, you know, completely just not knowing what's going to happen, what's going to come out from your music or your poetry, just being in that moment. Because that's what happens when you write the poem, you know, you're actually there in the moment, the magic moment. So I'm just going to try and open myself to that magic and see what flows. Peace becomes the way to existence. I could have dreamed, I could have stood, I could have laughed, I could have danced. I went to work! I went to work and I was making plastic. I was making plastic. I could have dreamed, I could have danced, I could have sang a song, I could have stayed in bed and laughed. I went to work. I went to work. I was making plastic. I was making plastic. I was making plastic at 8 o'clock in the second morning. It was not very nice. It was fucking plastic. I could have dreamed. I could have danced. They would have danced with me. They would have danced with me. But I thought I should go make feckin' plastic. Someone said, we have to make plastic. because plastic, you know, it's plastic. It was 8 o'clock in the morning, I wasn't really thinking clearly, so I went back to work again. Let's stop making plastic.
Tom Campbell has a ukulele and will do us another song. No poetry.
I'm just going to try starting with a poem. It's a participation poem. So when I say a word, I need you to say fish. Right? When you hear a popular brand name product, you stop saying fish. Is that understood?
Yeah.
No, what is it?
Okay, when I say fish, no.
No. We say fish.
Yeah, you say fish when I say a word, and then when you hear a popular brand name that you all know and possibly use, you stop saying fish.
So right. we keep saying fish to read
until you hear a popular brand name.
Okay.
Old.
Fish.
Gold.
Fish.
Silver.
Fish.
Blue.
Fish.
White.
Fish.
Black.
Fish.
Shiny.
Fish.
Carp.
Fish.
Trout.
Fish.
Salmon.
Fish.
Dead.
Fish.
Old.
Fish.
Gold.
Fish.
Domestos.
Fish.
Online fish. But don't use too much domestos. This is a little song called I'm Available.
I'll do anything you want me to. Anything you ask me to, I'll cook and clean. I'll even clean carpet. If you're a bike, then I jump on. If you're a bus, then I get on. If you're a boat, I sail away. If you're a plane, I'd be up and away. I'll never tie you down unless you ask me to. But I'll be gentle the whole night through. I like the way you dress. I like the way you undress. bus and I get on. If you're a boat, I sail away. If you're a plane, I'd be up and away. I love your humanity, and I'd like to drink a cup of tea with you. And I love you for a minute or two. If you're a bike, then I jump on. If you're a bus, then I get on. If you're a boat, I sail away. If you're a plane, I'd be up and away. I love every inch of you.
This is an naughty line.
And I'd love an inch or two of me to be in you. I like the way you give me a ring.
Notice if time is a thief, I'm going to keep your time. We're doing much less, so we've got to keep it short, so we can keep it to 2 or 3 minutes a piece, because there's loads of you want to read tonight. And next is Colm Scully.
I'll
keep it short anyway. A couple of weeks ago there, at the poetry film night, it was a great night, and I just noticed there was absolutely no mention of the economic crisis during the night, you know, rather at the bar or during the open mic. So it was just a nice release from the depression. But tonight I'm going to change that, so I'm just going to read two little poems about the economic crisis, because I suppose it's so pervasive that you can't help thinking about it, so I couldn't help writing about it. So this first one is just called The Money Trail. So it's my take on how we got into such debt. The money trail. It's the billions we owe to the senior bondholders and the subordinate bondholders, and the billions they owe to the Bundesbank and Societe Generale. That is owed to some Swiss banks who borrowed it long ago from the King of Belgium, who stole it from the Holy Roman Empire, who were given it by the Pope, who took it from the people in coffers off a Sunday to build them churches but didn't, who worked till their backs broke for the pittance they received. That's why we now have to pay back the money our great grandparents gave the Pope, for fear the next time he comes looking for money, he won't take it from us. And it's this is just called money. So this is just about, when you hear about these 80 billion or whatever you wonder, where does all this money come from? So this is, how come there's so much money in the world? this is just my take on it. It kind of ties into the Marxist theory of money. So money grows and grows and grows. When it stops, nobody knows. Little people on the street can't stop money growing. People working every day add a little to its hoard. Every hour spent preparing adds to money's lot. Interest rates and falling stocks, money grins and takes the knocks. GDP and high inflation, money doesn't have a nation. It's just out there sitting quietly, waiting for someone to use it. Latent work, it's just relaxing in the bank's deep vaults. As long as we keep working, we can't stop money growing. Growing, growing, growing. Drilling, digging, teaching, knowing. All the work since time began, all the efforts made by man. Colm Scully for T-shirt.
It's somehow harder to read a poem without the mic in front of you. There's like this emptiness.
Right. One poem about complicity. The pest. All winter huddled, you are a timid flatmate. You crouch in the dark, eyes watering, waiting for me to go. I'm advised it's unhealthy to keep you as a pet, and it's becoming clear you'll never leave me. My traps are weak, lazy. You navigate them easily, get braver, so I outsource the necessary violence. I find a man who knows how to adjust springs that will crack down when desire crawls for its solitary feed. You are gone by morning. There's a smear of blood next to your soft body where you worried in circles. I clean it, then I set out my apples again.
Thank you. We have Mary O'Connell. She's in the corner, so she's going to take her well getter to it. Clap for a bit. Fill up the atmosphere for Mary O'Connell.
Yeah, I too missed the mic. I noticed there were herons in Olive's poem. There's a heron in this as well. It's called Shanty. Out in the channel, a heron settles, folding down its wings. In a sunlit room, a man, cross-legged, gathers silence around him. Willow's supple spine, earthing lightning thoughts, a shift felt along taut sinews, easing the breath in a new attunement, blood and heartbeat balance. Sound recedes, walls expand, white horizon sinks to emptiness, breath suspended in diamond-cut stillness. Outside, the heron lifts and soars.
Mary Courtney.
These are two poems. There was a workshop I was at, and we were supposed to write gift poems. With the Fishes is the first one. Take it, water is a gift, makes ebullient bubbles, even pearls of your air. It melds to your shape, enfolding you deep in itself. Down there, your kingdom awaits you. Sit on your throne, a razor-edged shell. Weed for a crown, your trident no more than a fish slice. Move the earth, oogle the bare-breasted mermaids, alas, unattainable tale. The wails of five sirens assail your brain as they loll on their meadow of bones. Ride the waves, machismo dissolving in white foam. Mm. So this one is gift. I give you iodine, the heaviest element. Crystalline, blue-black like a bruise, but jagged. A chemical peels your palms. It won't melt, but sublimes from solid to violet vapors. A delight to the eye while burning the skin, corroding the innards. With the softest of cotton, you spread the orange tincture. Watched its purple stain, With the softest of cotton, you spread the orange tincture. Watched its purple stain, salt peter into the grain. Blemish, spot, blot, no water can wash.
She's an all-day legend. Yeah. Rosie O'Regan.
This is a short poem, and it's an old poem that I re-edited, and I suppose it's an anniversary time for it as well. So it's called After Life. I am older than I will ever be. This day, I cannot speak. The emptiness inside a universe, a whole lifetime missing.
Connor McManus, is he here with us? Connor.
Just two short poems. First one's That Last Autumn, it's called. I remember you as you were that last autumn. The crisp leaves of the sycamore had turned pear colour, and you had dyed your hair auburn and chastised me for not noticing. You pulled me close, your arm linked through mine, said how the colours were strong this year. It was because of too much or too little rain, you couldn't remember which. Then we argued because you said it was always drier in Cork, and you walked fast ahead of me, and I ran to catch up to see if you were laughing, and you linked your arm through mine and pulled me close. The second one is written after Dale with my daughter in Dublin. The sun shone, but it wasn't warm when we got the taxi from Houston. It reminded me of September days, long before you were a twinkle, as you'd say yourself. You who invented tidgies and resisted shackles like a true Irish hero, though still only five. On the train, you drew a locket on a page and asked me how they were made, and asked, were they fairies or angels that sat at the foot of O'Connell? And you wondered how they built the spire, and asked, were some fairies shy, and can angels fly in the rain? The taxi man said he had a handier route, and I wondered would he screw us, and looked for bullet holes in the forecourts, and for the ghosts of Colin's spies in the castle. I wanted to look at the paintings on the railings, but you wanted to hunt for horse chestnuts in the green, and play on the slides and swing. We sat on a bench, you curled on my lap, tired from the early start, and we threw money in the fountain, and you said, if two coins touched, we could make a wish. Thank you.
The next person is very fast becoming like a Ovale regular, you know, one of the citizen and native, Ross O'Donnell.
This is work I've done 3 months ago, and I kind of took it out last night and I kind of polished it off a bit, and it's based on true events, but you can gather that through listening, I presume. It's called A Well-Deserved Rant. This is a mood mapping technique which I've used for a few months to explain some of my thought processes. If it's so easy to manipulate and trap so-called intelligent person, I can't but wonder to realise how other societies work. Imagine how isolating it feels to know your circumstances and still have no control over them with every effort or change you put forward. I try not to ask for help, as the help I have received in the past have had more negative outcomes than positive ones. I have gone without toilet roll for about 5 days now. It's refreshing to wipe your ass with baby wipes. I am eating flatmates' food to keep me from hunger. I have no credit in my phone, and I have borrowed money to cover internet expenses because of a pursuit of mine. Pursuits equaling finding satisfying work, companionship, and correspondence. I've got to go out this weekend because a friend had a free ticket to a gig. I hate charity. Not what it stands for, but the crutch and stigma and patronising feeling associated with accepting it. I am searching and battling for my independence, and it is breaking and tiring me as a person. My injury benefit has been cut off, and quite rightly so. My recovery has taken me a while, and I still carry those scars, more psychological than physical, and the pain which I have trained myself to ignore. I have little respect for community welfare officers because I see the way they operate or deal with people. I was going to say the word treat, but treat sounds like a good word. I have seen how corporate and medical Ireland works, and I do not want to involve myself with those companies again. I am a hard working person, but when I get overloaded or dumped on without finding the right way to express myself, I shut down. Apparently we're all in the same boat. as far as I'm concerned, I'm still on this shagging island. And now, the latest addition to my stressful factors is dealing with financial advisors who put in place and train people to accept poverty in the first place, interest repayments by the same institutions that are cleaning us out. But I look at the positive point of this. At least we're creating jobs for people. It turns out that I am working miracles each week by fortnightly putting myself in deficit of €120. And what great advice these services provide. Your food budget is too high. Really. Because I have an appetite and enjoy eating healthy foods. Therefore, my budget is too high. It's like... Another saving was to cut your gym membership, as it is a luxury. Since when did exercising become a luxury? But it was put very well in fairness. There are other ways to exercise. This is just advice. And advice to reduce your outgoings. As you can tell, I've reduced my outgoings dramatically. My transport was stolen, gym membership cancelled, and as I have no way of getting to the leisure centre without paying a minimum of €560 return for pubic transport, which I am smelly enough to accept, which I am smelly enough to be accepted for, sorry. It's supposed to be funny. So continuing with my eating habits, I've loaded on the festive pounds. At least I will be plump for my next hibernation. So getting back to the advisors, don't get me wrong, it's highly beneficial advice, but when you're accustomed to unemployment benefit and its trappings, those jobs that barely pay over minimum wage start to tend to be an incentive, and that's the danger. Jobs that still won't support you sufficiently and keep you busy and overworked while you pay for inflated costs and the ever-constant changing variables which are your outgoings.
It's unfortunate that hundreds of thousands of people know how you feel.
Very quickly, I'm going to read three quotations. Take them as you feel. This one, the one I read when I was 18. You should know now that a man of knowledge lives life by acting, not by thinking about acting, nor by thinking about what he will think about when he has finished acting. A man of knowledge chooses a path with heart and follows it. Carlos Castaneda. This is by Paul Bowles. Death is always on the way, but the fact we don't know when it will arrive seems to take away the finiteness of life. It's that terrible precision that we hate so much. But because we don't know when it will happen, we get the thing of life as an inexhaustible well. Yet everything happens only a certain number of times, and a very small number really. How many more times will you remember it? How many more times will you remember an afternoon of your childhood? An afternoon that's so deeply a part of your being that you can't even conceive your life without it. Perhaps four, perhaps five times more. Perhaps not even that. How many more times will you watch the full moon rise? Perhaps 20. And yet it all seems limitless. I'll finish now.
There's just about one time for about one more. Alan's not on the list, but he usually does one, and he's shaking his head.
I like the one at Waterbury.
Yay!
Would you like to?
Might have asked.
Bring him back. unfortunately, they're all short, you know.
Sorry, you've only got 3 minutes.
I always wanted to be thrown out of O'Neill.
3 minutes time,
I was thrown out of some of the best pubs around the country. These are small kind of aphoristic poems translated from the Irish or from the Scottish, written in the 18th century, so I'll read a few of them anyway. Pardon? Níl le agan a chugaí de gomar a hálaing sé sin nuair sé seachan mach. Tiatting de chuma, yeah. Okay. This is listen. If you don't want to listen, then fucking walk out. I'd be very sensitive to that. All right. Okay. These are them. There's no title on any of these. You can say, and I won't give an introduction. Okay. The clergy told black lies that God didn't approve of theft, while he had on his side the best of robbers, death. This is very cheerful stuff. A long way. And there's another cheerful one as well. A pity about that, my small white book, the day will come it's true, that the hand that wrote it will be as shriveled and as completely dead as you. He was written by cheerful poets of the we come on from the Green Party. The fox is exceedingly clever, and no one's as clever as him, and yet for all his cleverness they often sell his skin. And here's a warning to everybody, since it's a political one. Beware the English and mad dogs in pain, and a bull's horn and a stallion's hoof, and the English once again. Okay, and let me see. Right. Oh, I'm not a cheerful one. Right. Spend what you have in your hands and seek what you can find. If you do not spend life to the full, you will leave it all behind. Just one last one then. It's another religious one. And this is for sadomasochists anywhere. Pilgrimage and fasting is good, and flagellation without crying, but charity and love and kindness are the best before you start dying.